Good morning. I'm Richard V. I'm program chair this year, and unfortunately became a president again. So we're glad to have you out today. This session with Amazon always seems to be real well attended, and it's for a reason. We get a lot of good information from Peter and staff. I'd like to welcome all you to the 50th of a session of BITS programs. BITS is 50 years old today. BITS is 50 years old today, and because of that, this year we're celebrating with a little bit different program. We're not having that little casual mixer like we usually do. We're having a big banquet tomorrow night with upscale food. The food is upscaled, and they're going to have an anniversary cake, and those that buy the package are going to get free drinks. We have door prizes. There'll be a couple of Amazon kind of goodies given away. So I encourage all of you that have not registered, do, so we can get a good meal count and have a good time. So. With that said, I'm not going to keep it too much longer. I'm going to bring back a person everybody knows. Has been with us before with Amazon. And we'll bring Peter Korn to tell us more about what he's got hiding there or coming up.
Good morning, BITS. So this is now our third time coming to you. I thought... you might be getting tired of hearing my voice alone. So with me today is Dr. Joshua Mealy, who joined Amazon earlier this year, and he and I are going to tag team this session with you this morning. So before we get started, I'd just love to get through your applause, a sense of how many of you in the last few weeks have done any shopping on Amazon. How many of you have in one form factor or another Alexa in your home? Or reading Kindle ebooks? Or Audible audiobooks? How about Fire TV? Fire tablet? All right. Well, we're going to be, and Prime Video with audio description? All right, well, we're going to be talking about all of those things. This is going to be a bit more informal, and love to invite you to ask questions as we go, make this sort of more of a fireside chat here. We've got a roaring fire behind me.
An Amazon fire.
Amazon fire, that's right, it was... Shipped that way with Prime Now. So the first thing I wanted to do is just give a quick overview of what we have on offer. And then I'll turn it over to Josh to talk a little bit about some of the new things in the VoiceView screen reader. And we'll just be going back and forth. Again, feel free to ask questions of anything we're talking about as we go. So the first thing I wanted to let you guys know about is we've got a new set of Fire TV products. In addition to the existing Fire TV stick, our $39.99 HDMI stick that will stream Prime Video and Netflix and Hulu and hundreds of other apps and streaming content, we have something called the Fire TV Cube. Fire TV Cube is the love child of an Amazon Echo Dot with Fire TV. So you can use it as if it were a dot. You can use it as a Fire TV. You can use your voice to control it while you're sitting comfortably in your couch, your living room chair. And a gentleman in the front row is endorsing it. He's enjoying it at his house.
Yes.
We've got a new... Excellent.
Even more than me.
We have a new Fire TV stick, the Fire TV Stick 4K. For $10 more, this will stream 4K ultra high definition content for those of you who like to have more pixels on your screen. Or for your guests who are coming to your living room and want to see that. And we've got a bunch new televisions from Toshiba and Insignia that have Fire TV goodness built into them. These come from a collaboration that we're doing with Best Buy. So these are exclusively available from Best Buy or from our online retail store. The Insignia models start at 24 inches in diagonal, $150. With the Alexa voice remote, 4 HDMI inputs, Bluetooth output, a headphone jack, and of course they get over-the-air broadcast TV. There are 20 different models of these TVs from Insignia and Toshiba. They go all the way up in size to 55 inches, 4K Ultra HD, and that's got a list price of, I believe, $450. But as always, check on our website because they're often on sale. I just checked right now this morning before starting this talk, and the base model is on sale, not for $150, but $129.99. That's for the 24-inch from Insignia. And I should probably remind you all, in case a few of you aren't aware, Prime Day is coming up. Or maybe I should call it Prime Days, because it's two full days, Monday and Tuesday, July 15 and 16. And while I'm not aware of the particular prices that we will be discounting items on, there's a very good chance that there are going to be some fantastic deals on Fire TVs at Prime Day. We've also been doing a lot with Alexa smart home devices. How many of you have heard we're making microwave ovens? Any folks out there have our microwave? All right, what do you think of it, sir?
I think it's great.
What do you like about it most?
I like the fact that I don't have to worry about the touchpad
in the microwave.
The gentleman is saying that what he likes about it most is he doesn't have to worry about the touchpad on the microwave. The Amazon Basics microwave with Alexa support is what we call an Alexa endpoint. What that means is you can use your voice through an Echo Dot or a Fire TV Cube or any other Alexa device you have to control the microwave completely with your voice. This is a $59.99 Amazon Basics microwave that you put in your kitchen. It pairs over Bluetooth to one of your Echo devices, and then you can simply say, does anyone have her here? Do I dare say her name? You just say, Alexa, microwave some popcorn for me. Alexa, reheat a pound of chicken for me. Alexa, thaw this chopped meat, a half pound of chopped meat for me. I see a question on my left side about four rows back. Yes?
Do you have to use Alexa, or can you use it without it?
So the question was, do you need to use Alexa with this microwave, or can you use the microwave without it? You can absolutely use the microwave without it. Like nearly all microwaves sold today, to make it really, really easy to clean, the buttons are part of a touch panel with no real distinctive markings except for the Alexa button. So you can put dots on it, absolutely. You can put Braille labels on it, and you can absolutely use the microwave without voice. But what's nice and special about the microwave is you can use your voice for it.
And
gentlemen...
I assume,
Yeah.
I assume since it's only $59.95
that it's tiny. So the woman was observing that at $59.99 it's not the largest microwave out there. No. No, it's one of the smaller microwaves. It's ideal for a dorm or for a bachelor pad
Or just a small house.
Yeah, if you're not, you know, reheating a huge bowl of chili for you and your six family members, it's a fine choice. The gentleman in the back wants to say a few words.
I just wanted to say that, you know, my wife recited all the
voices. So the gentleman notes that his wife is sighted and she always uses her voice to control the Amazon Basics microwave. No, it's just really convenient. I mean, using voice is convenient for everybody.
It's just the one microwave?
So Amazon has one model of Alexa-enabled microwave. But the microwave is actually two products in one. So it's the microwave itself, and then there's something called the Alexa hardware kit. And this is a small chip that we designed, that we put into our microwave, but we're also making available to other manufacturers so that other companies can much more easily put Alexa into their products. Now, a number of companies have done this. You can go to GE, you can go to quite a few companies, and they have Alexa-enabled devices. They have ovens, they have dishwashers, all kinds of stuff. This just makes that so much easier for companies to do, and you will see more and more companies doing that. I've got a question in the back on the right, and then a question further forward on the right. Yes, ma'am, go ahead. The woman was asking about Instapot, and will Alexa come to Instapot? And another woman in the audience said that she's talked with them, and they have said to her that it's coming. There's a woman on my right, two rows back. So the woman is asking, how do you control the dishwasher? With all of these Alexa-enabled items, there is a set of smart home commands that we have defined, that Amazon has defined. And these are in various domains. So there's a kitchen domain, there's a lighting domain, there's a air conditioning or HVAC, heating, air conditioning domain. And any set of commands in those domains generally work across all products in that domain. And then individual manufacturers sometimes add their own commands. So you might do something like, Alexa, ask GE to check the probe temperature, right? So if there are some specific features that aren't yet in the standard API for that family of smart home devices, you might have to go to something that is, we call this in the namespace of a particular company. And we are working with all of these companies to increase the general and common vocabulary of all smart home devices. There's a question on the left side, then I'll come back to the gentleman in the polo shirt, and then I'll come to the front of the room. Yes, ma'am, with your hand up.
One more question, because I don't have Alexa. So do you still have to buy a Dot or one of the other Alexa products, or is it in there so when you hit the button for Alexa, it will work?
So the question was, do you need an Alexa Echo device to use these appliances? And the answer is yes. You need something with this, with a microphone built into it. Now that could be something like your Fire tablet or your Fire TV with a microphone on the remote, or an Echo Dot or an Echo or a Fire TV Cube or an Echo Show. There are many, many products, but you need something with a microwave to reach out to connect to Alexa. And the Echo Dot starts at, I believe, $39.99. There's a woman immediately to the last questioner's left. So the woman is asking about more portable ways to watch TV. So there are a number of options. So you could simply get a tablet, whether it's a tablet from Apple or a generic Android tablet, or of course one of our fine Fire tablets with VoiceView and Alexa built in. But any of these tablets will allow you to watch Prime Video content, so streaming video from the internet. You can watch Netflix, you can watch Hulu. And if you have something like the Fire TV Recast, which I'll talk about in just a moment, you can also stream over the internet over-the-air broadcast TV. I'll get to that in a moment once I sort of work through all the questions in the room. And the Fire tablets, we have three different sizes. We have a 7-inch diagonal model, the Fire 7 HD for $49.99. We have the Fire 8 HD, the Fire HD 8, I should say, tablet, which is, I believe, $79.99, and then we have a 10-inch model for around $150. So those are our three models of tablets. So you get a 7, 8, or 10-inch screen. They're all quite portable. I have the 8 with me here, and you're welcome to come up afterwards to get your mitts on it. I'm going to move now to my right, the gentleman three rows back in the polo shirt. So the gentleman's asking about a list of the standard commands. Unfortunately, because they are constantly changing and we're getting more and more of them, we don't have an easy-to-find published list. There is a list of all of the commands you can use with the microwave that come with the microwave, but as Alexa keeps getting smarter, we will actually see more commands that you can ask of these devices over time. And you can always say to Alexa, what can I say? And you can get a couple of immediate options. If I can sort of focus the questions on Alexa and Fire TV for now, and then we'll get to tablets in a bit. I see four hands up. Maybe I can make that the last set before we move on. So at the front, Patricia. So the question was about, can I use my voice, can I use Alexa to ask for a particular show on Netflix, for example. So with the streaming services, yes. I honestly haven't tried this with a tablet. We can do a quick check in a moment. I do this with Fire TV all the time. Alexa, watch Stranger Things on Netflix. Alexa, watch, I'm trying to remember the name of that show on Hulu. I could just name the show, and if it's on multiple services, she will suggest the service that is least expensive. So sometimes you might have a show that's streaming free on Netflix, but is also in Amazon's catalog for rent. But if you have Netflix, then why would we invite you to rent it for a few dollars when you can just stream it for free with Netflix? So we'll do that. And if you have something like a television source, whether it's our physical TV or Fire TV Recast, or one of the services like Pluto TV that will stream broadcast TV over the internet, and you say something like, I want to watch Wheel of Fortune, we'll just stream Wheel of Fortune to you over one of your broadcast sources. So what I'm describing works on Amazon Fire TV, whether it's a Fire TV stick that's plugged into your television, or whether it's basically through that. So if you've got a smart TV from Samsung or someone else, Alexa isn't on that. So the woman's talking about Amazon Music. You can also use Alexa to control Amazon Music. So all the time at home, I just ask for a particular song and Amazon Music will stream it to me over the speakers in my house. Moving over to the left side of the room and back, the woman in the blue blouse. The way Alexa works, the question was about She's heard people talk about Alexa recording everything. So the way Alexa works is you either have Alexa on a device like Fire TV where there's a button that you press on the microphone, and you need to press that button and then you can start talking to Alexa. Same with the microwave has a button to wake her up. Or we have what's called far-field Alexa wake word. So you have a device like an Echo Dot, an Echo Show, and that physical device has a little computer on it, and that computer is listening for the wake word. And until that wake word happens, nothing is streamed back to Amazon. Nothing is recorded. So the wake word is like pressing a button, but you're doing it with your voice. Once you wake her up, once you say to an Echo Dot, an Echo Show, Alexa, or if you've changed the wake word to Echo, Amazon, or computer, and you say one of those words, at that point, and only at that point, is the audio streamed back to Amazon's cloud, where our Alexa brain in the cloud, running on our Amazon Web Service computing systems, do the voice recognition to figure out what it is you're asking her to do, like microwave some popcorn or tune into some music. And then she does it. And then the audio stops being streamed. So that's when the information is going back. Now, in order to improve the quality of the speech recognition, to make her able to recognize more and more voices, children's voices, adults' voices, voices with accents, we listen to a small fraction of that, less than 1%, to improve the algorithms. But you can, through the Alexa app on your phone, you can delete individual utterances or delete all of them. Other questions? There was a, on the right side, the gentleman, the woman in back in the fuchsia on my right side, yes. Every Echo device has a microphone disable button which electrically disconnects the microphone. And you can turn that off anytime you want. There's a question on my right in the back, yes, holding up her badge. So the woman's saying, I need to turn on my TV to play TuneIn Radio. So the Fire TV Cube, this marriage of an Echo Dot with a Fire TV, it has a very small speaker inside it, but you're probably not going to enjoy music from TuneIn or any other source with that small speaker. So you'll need to turn your TV or some other device downstream of the HDMI port in order to enjoy music. Now, when you set it up or at any time, you can go to tell the Fire TV Cube through the settings menu what devices you have at home that it can then turn on using infrared. So if your television supports an infrared remote, Fire TV Cube also contains an infrared emitter, an infrared transmitter, that can then turn on and turn off your stereo, your television, your cable box. It can't control the rest of your cable box. It can't, you know, do everything that you might want with a cable box, but it will turn it on and off. Right, so the woman's saying when I ask to listen to something like NPR, it won't automatically turn on the TV. You need to either turn the TV on yourself or tell the Fire TV Cube what kind of television you have and make sure that the emitter, which plugs into the back using an eighth inch headphone style jack, that emitter is pointed at your television and then that will emit an IR signal that tells your TV to turn on, and then away you go, and you can also say to your Fire TV Cube, turn the TV off, and it will then send the off signal over infrared to turn your TV off. So the woman is asking about installing Alexa on her Apple iPad. The Alexa app, you can go to the Apple Store and you can download the Alexa app. And when that app is running, you can go to the software button, the button on the screen, and enable Alexa and talk to Alexa on your Apple device. The thing is, you can't then, she doesn't know about the rest of the features on the Apple device, so you can't use the Apple device to ask Alexa to watch a movie on your Apple device hands-free. On the Fire TV itself,
yeah,
you can, on the Fire TV Cube, Fire TV Stick, the physical televisions from Insignia and Toshiba through Best Buy, any Fire TV form factor, if you have apps on that, many of those apps are now integrating with Alexa. More are integrating every day. I don't know off the top of my head whether the DirecTV Now app fully integrates with Alexa or not. There is an app. That app does work with VoiceView. I have tried it. So worst case, you can use the very nice VoiceView screen reader on your Fire TV to interact with the DirecTV app. More and more of these things are integrating with Alexa, but I don't know what the status is of the DirecTV app. You'll have to ask the nice folks at DirecTV. I'm going to bounce back to the back of the room, trading sides left and right. In the back on the aisle in the wheelchair. So the question was about using voice to do shopping and to ask about products like your a Bluetooth speaker, and then have that product information sent to your phone, and then being able to review that product information on your phone via a Braille display. And the woman is saying that in the last few months that has stopped working for her. Let me invite you, I'll give you my card after. Let me invite you to send me email with that, and we can track that down. We are making a number of updates to Alexa Voice Shopping to try to figure out how to make that a more streamlined experience, and to have many, many more products voice shopping enabled. And it's possible that this was an accidental glitch that happened along the way. So I'm going to bop back to the right side, and then I'll come to the gentleman who's immediately on your right. So the woman was talking about a change in the cooking skill that she's using, that she used to get step-by-step cooking instructions, and now Alexa is sending the cooking instructions to her phone. So I don't cook with Alexa. I like cooking solo. Again, let me ask you to come up afterwards. I'll give you my card. Send me an email with that. I'll see if we can run that down. All right, so the gentleman in the polo shirt. Well, it all depends upon how you rotate the
volume up is the 12 o'clock position, and the power is the 12 o'clock position is low energy. Then it will be at the 9 o'clock position, is that right?
Yes. The button should have a little dot on it, a tactile dot that's protruding. And that's how you can find it as well. Sorry, it's the one opposite the activation button. So the question was about what we call false activation. Sometimes Alexa thinks she heard her name, It could be that she's just been a little lonely because you haven't talked with her for a while. No, we're always working to improve the accuracy of voice recognition, and sometimes there are what we call these false positives, and those are decreasing over time as the recognition accuracy gets better. But voice recognition is a very challenging problem, and so sometimes it will activate incorrectly. On my left side of the room, in the very front, so the woman is asking about accessibility fluctuations in the Alexa app on her iPhone over time. We are very aware of that. A little bit of a technical deep dive in this. We are using a technology called React Native. It's a user interface library that our friends at Facebook created that allows you to have the same application running on both Android and iOS devices. And React Native's accessibility support is not as comprehensive as necessary for more complex user interface items, things like sliders for setting the equalizer values or volume control, some of the other user interface controls. We have been working with Facebook throughout the first half of this year to get that fixed. One of our engineers has been making contributions back to React Native, and you should hopefully see that get a lot better pretty soon. Right, so the gentleman is again echoing the, pardon the pun, the previous questioner, noting the challenges that he's having with the Alexa app. We recently revamped the way smart home works to support things like groups, so that you can group multiple items in a room and say, this is a room. If you have an Echo device in that room and that Echo device is paired with something like a Sonos system in that room, when you say play music, it will come out of the nicer Sonos speakers. That whole revamp required more complex user interface controls than React Native accessibility was able to support. And as I mentioned earlier, we are hard at work to fix all of those problems. The fixes that we've made to React Native accessibility just last month were accepted by Facebook into the core React Native framework.
You might want to explain about that it's an open source and that everybody will get those.
Sure. As my colleague Josh was reminding me, React Native is open source. And so these are contributions back to the community open source React Native. All React Native apps will get these over time as they update to the latest, to version 0.6.
More probably just labeling a button, because I thought I said, did they just label the plus button, I'd be okay.
Well, yes. No, I mean, all I can do is apologize for the immediate problems and describe what we're doing to fix it more deeply and in the long term. Four rows back on my left, one in from the edge. The comment was first thanking us for the self-voicing Prime Video app on her LG Smart TV and the ease with which she was able to repeat information that was on the screen, and then the second was about Fire TV and independent setup. Absolutely, you can set up the Fire TV independently. When you first plug the Fire TV, Fire TV stick, Fire TV physical television, when you plug any of them in, they start making a periodic tone once they've fully booted up. It sounds boom, sounds more or less like that. And at that point, you press the home button on your remote. That's the middle button in the three rows of small buttons, the first set of three rows of buttons on your remote. That pairs the remote with the Fire TV. You'll now periodically hear a second set of tones, boo-deep, periodically, and at that point, you can turn the screen reader on, and with Voice View, the rest of the setup is completely spoken. I'm gonna take just two more questions. This is part, so the woman was saying that some folks who don't have an iPhone, they just have Alexa, and they're able to put items in their shopping cart, but they need the app to complete the purchase. This is part of the revamp of the voice shopping experience that we're in the middle of as we try to make it able to support a much broader range of products. I'm happy to meet with you after, give you my card, and we can continue that conversation offline. On the right, the gentleman in the blue shirt who, so the question was, if you like to enjoy listening to Kindle books via Alexa, having her do the reading rather than something like Audible, is there a way to speed up or slow down the reading? Not today. Question, final, yes. Final question before we move on to tablets. On my left, in the green t-shirt. So the question was about Alexa integration with Sonos. Alexa does integrate very nicely with Sonos. Sonos is what I have at my house. I have a couple of different rooms, each with their own Sonos. Each room also has an Echo Dot in one, an Echo taller cylinder in the other. And if you use the Alexa app, which has some accessibility issues at the moment, you can tell Alexa, hey, I've got, you know, my living room. In the living room is this Sonos zone, and I've got the bedroom with a different Sonos zone. Once you've done that, when you're in the living room and you say, you know, play some Miles Davis, it'll come out of the Sonos speakers. If you go into your bedroom and say, play some Billy Joel, then that will happen in the bedroom because Alexa knows that you're talking to the dot in your bedroom and that you're in your bedroom, and therefore you should use the Sonos speakers in your bedroom. I mean, sometimes you will be in earshot or voice shot of multiple different Echo devices. And the Echo devices quickly chat with one another and try to figure out where you had the loudest volume. And so that's probably the room you're in, and so that's the room that responds to you. So we call it ESP. I forget what the letters stand for to perceive what room you're in. And that's the Echo device that then responds to you. So continuing on. So we've been doing a lot with our tablets. We've refreshed pretty much the entire Fire tablet line. Now with any of our new tablets, we also have what's called wake word detection as an option. We've got a special low power chip in the tablet. And if you turn on that feature, then you can use wake word detection on your tablet. Now, it won't hear you from across the room. It doesn't have the 5 microphone array, but if it's on the table in front of you or, you know, beside your nightstand in the bedroom and you've turned wake word detection on, you can use Alexa that way. We've also done a lot with Voice View, and I'm now going to take a break and invite Josh Mealy, my colleague, to say a few words about that.
Hey folks, we may have met before, but not under this flag. I'm new at Amazon. I've been around for a while. I'm a blind scientist and researcher. I do a lot of work with designing and understanding how accessible interfaces should and can work, and it's been my pleasure to be at Amazon since late January and work with Peter and the rest of the devices accessibility team at Lab 126, which is the part of Amazon that makes all of the Kindles and TVs and Alexas and everything. So my role is as a researcher, my expertise, I have to just admit to you right up front that there are so many cool things that Amazon is doing that, you know, I let Peter field all of these questions because Peter really knows everything inside and out. I'm relatively new, but as a blind designer and researcher, one of the areas that I've of course sort of taken particular interest in is the design and improvement of our screen reader Voice View. So Voice View is the screen reader that we use all across our products. It comes in a number of different flavors. It runs on our tablets so that you can use it and swipe and interact with it. It comes on our Fire TVs and you use it through the remote, so you have a set of commands that you use to navigate the screen using the remote. It even exists on a number of our Kindle devices, including even our Kindles that don't even have a headphone jack. You need to use Bluetooth headphones to connect to it. But it's everywhere where Amazon devices are, if it's needed. Obviously, Alexa, many of our Alexa devices, such as the Echo Dots, don't even have a screen. So hey. No screen reader, we're cool. But some of our other devices that are Alexa forward do have a screen. We call these multimodal devices. And the multimodal devices are things like the Echo Show, the Echo Look, and a number of other devices that we have that are sort of different sizes, different form factors, intended for different things. The Echo Show, for example, is a small... If you have one of these multimodal devices, an Alexa with a screen on it, just give me a clap to know that you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so a couple people have seen our multimodal devices. So those do have Voice View running on them as well, because sometimes even though we really make a very significant effort to design our Alexa experience so that everything that you need to know or do can be done through the voice interface. Occasionally, there will be things on the screen that you might want to read. So, for example, if you, if you say what movies are playing, she might put up a list of movies on the screen that you would want to review. So you can use Voice View to review those just like you can on a tablet or on a TV. So. It's Voice View. Anybody who's used a screen reader, how many people have used Voice View in one of its forms or another? So, how many people have used VoiceOver? So, VoiceOver is a screen reader also, and since you're familiar with it, I think it's easy to sort of explain a lot of the, before we had, before we had so many tablets that you would interact with by swiping, nobody could really imagine how you would design a screen reader for an environment with no buttons, no keys, no keyboard. So Voice View, of course, uses a straightforward system of swipes and taps, much like some other screen readers for other environments that you might have seen on tablets. And it, because it makes sense to really, like, we don't want to force people to learn a whole bunch of new gestures. It makes sense to standardize on a single set of gestures where we can. We've done that. We've got a bunch of our own, and we, any screen reader user knows that you need to be able to navigate right by word, by left by word, up and down by line. You need to be able to spell things. You need to be able to enter text. You need to be able to review the text you're entering. You need there's just a standard set of things that you can do that you should be able to do and need to be able to do with a screen reader. And so VoiceView, of course, does all of those things that you need to do. It's got lots of features that you would expect and then some that you wouldn't expect. Like, for example, we can read by sentence is one of our granularity functions. So in addition to being able to read by character or word, you can read through a document by sentence, which is a very nice feature. Of course, you can also on one of our tablets, you can do things activate different features. There's a full set of customizable features in the settings where you can say, you know, you can adjust various things, including verbosity. So verbosity is one of these things where a number of screen readers have this concept of, you know, how much do you want me to say? How much help do you need? So we've incorporated verbosity into both the concept of verbosity into the TV voice view as well as voice view on tablets. These are really, you know, just basically what we're trying to do is give you a screen reader. As Peter was mentioning earlier, that the tablets that we make are extremely affordable, and the combination of VoiceView on one of our tablets is really, I would say, probably the most inexpensive way to get access to tablet-based information. So if you've got one of our Fire tablets and you've got VoiceView running, you can access all sorts of reading material. You can, you know, obviously read Kindle books. You can read read stuff on the web. You can also load, for example, Bard Mobile. Bard Mobile has a Kindle version, an Android version. You can go to the App Store on one of our $50 tablets and download for free the Bard Mobile app, and you've got a tablet that you can then carry around with you for $50 and read all of your Bard books in addition to your whatever content you want to access on Kindle or Audible, as well as any of our other things, including audio described content on Amazon Prime. Does anybody have any questions about the screen reader? I was going to, okay, go ahead. Yes, I believe Bookshare, has an Android app that, right. So the Kindle Fire, Fire OS is the operating system that runs our Kindle tablets, okay? Our Fire tablets. And Fire OS is a flavor of Android. So it works quite well. Many of the apps that you can get for that you've come to be familiar with on iOS are also available for Android, and I think that Bookshare and Bookshare is one of them, and you can then install those Android apps for reading or for doing anything else on one of your Fire tablets and use it with VoiceView. Does that answer your question? Yeah, so you would look in the App Store on your Kindle on your Fire tablet, and it would you can search, find the Bookshare app and install it, and I have not personally used it, but I think it would probably work as well as it would on any other Android platform. The other thing that I want to tell you about, which is really, really exciting, is that we take Braille integration very seriously. And not only do we support Braille output, you can pair any number of Braille displays and Braille keyboards with our Fire tablets, and then use the VoiceView screen reader to navigate using both. You can leave speech turned on and be able to use your Braille display in conjunction with speech, or you can turn speech off, of course, and navigate just using the Braille display, which is really, a lot of the time what you need if you're trying to work or read or take notes in an environment where you don't want a lot of sound. So Braille, obviously, with Braille, that gives us access. That gives us direct Braille access to Kindle books, which is super cool. It means that any of our, the vast majority of our millions of books available through Kindle can be read in UEB or in contracted grade 2 Braille. In fact, most Braille displays don't have translators built into them. Most Braille displays, when you pair them with another device, the master device, the tablet, the computer, whatever, is the one that decides what kind of Braille code to display. And so we allow uncontracted Braille, so you can read it in sort of 8-dot computer Braille if you want. And then we also allow for contracted sort of, the grade 2 Braille that you and I grew up with. And we also, of course, are able to present Braille in UEB. We're using LibLui. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's a Braille translator and formatter that is open source, and it's one of our modules. So, I'm sorry, I need to take just one question at a time. So, first in the front on my left, we are always interested in expanding our the capabilities we have. So, if we don't support the Braille display you're using now, first of all, we'd love to hear. We always love to hear from our customers about what they need. So it helps us know how to prioritize the things that we do. And yes, we are always adding new functionality and new capabilities to VoiceView. So you can I can't guarantee you any particular Braille display, but we're always adding Braille displays. Yes. The question is about improving accessibility with Instacart, as well as Adobe Acrobat. I'll just say, Instacart. Obviously Amazon is also interested in bringing tens of thousands of products to your house. So we're certainly interested in having you be able to use whatever service you want on our products. But I'd love to hear your feedback on Amazon Fresh. For shopping and I'll let Peter answer the question about Adobe. I don't have any information about that.
So,
Peter.
So first, actually, I'm going to speak to Instacart because a friend of mine works there. If you want to, again, send me email after, and you already have my card, Patricia.
Yeah.
I'll forward that on to my friend at Instacart. Instacart should have two interfaces. Their web interface as well as an app. Are you speaking about using VoiceView with the web interface to Instacart or their dedicated app?
Web interface.
Are you having trouble with it right now? Have you tried it? So our fresh delivery is based primarily on Whole Foods. But that's absolutely something that you can use. As far as Instacart, again, I'm happy to pass that along. It sounds like your main challenge with Instacart is their captures.
As far as Adobe goes, I'm going to ask you to connect with Adobe, and I can give you some names of accessibility people at Adobe afterwards who you can hit up about that. And now I'll return it back to Josh.
Thank you. So I just want to sort of hit on this Braille thing a little bit more, because I think, you know, this is of interest. So we now, in addition to supporting lots of Braille displays and having, you know, providing through those Braille displays an interface to all of our Kindle books, we are now supporting Braille screen input. So so either in, or it's not actually, not yet, sorry, not yet. It's so imagine if it did. No, it's not coming.
Well, it might not. Might or
it might not be coming. But okay, so we're not supporting screen input today, as Peter says. But there are there's but I think that's something that you might be able to look forward to in the near future. I want to. This is the new guy. Throw the new guy up there. You know, tell him a bunch of secrets and then put a microphone in front of him. The other thing that I want to talk about today is Prime Video, but I want to sort of finish up on the tablets first and make sure there are no that I'm not leaving any questions about tablets on the floor. Yeah, go ahead. We have our own screen reader. VoiceView is its own screen reader. It's not TalkBack, and we're building our Braille experience on our voice view capabilities. The question is, sorry, I keep forgetting to repeat the question. The question here is about gesture sensitivity and how voice view is with that. It can't be adjusted right now, but I think that, as we've said with a number of other things, we're conscious of how we can improve, and we're always looking for ways to make the experience better for you. So while I can't talk to anything specific, I think gesture sensitivity is certainly something we're conscious of. There is some good news in the area of being able to turn voice view on and off. We've recently added a number of new ways of turning it on and off, including a triple tap of the power button to toggle voice view on and off.
Yeah. If you have voice view already installed, this will be off by default. So you'll need to go to voice view settings, and you'll see some new settings there. And there's a setting to turn triple tap, to enable triple tap. And once you've done that, anytime the tablet is powered on and has enough battery, a triple tap of the power button will toggle voice view on and off. When we update voice view in the background, as we try to do to make it better and better, kind of like Alexa keeps getting better and better, the first time you go to use voice view after we update it, you're offered a short summary and the ability to go to the tutorial. But anytime you can go to settings and see what the options are, you can go to settings and run the tutorial. Another new feature we've added, your gentleman was talking about gestures, we've added a learn mode. So a double tap with four fingers will turn learn mode on, and then every gesture you make, VoiceView will tell you what that gesture was that it thought you made. Again, a double tap with four fingers will turn that off. So at any time, you can turn learn mode on and off.
What does Amazon think for an app?
Okay.
So the name of our app store is just the Fire App Store.
Yes.
When the battery is getting low, maybe you can enable something similar to what we have in on the Apple Pay, like a notification, so it will say battery is getting low, or 30% or 20%.
I believe that does exist.
Okay, if it exists,
I'll take that as a note to bring back to the engineers to make it more prominent.
Yeah. The question is, does VoiceView already exist on the tablet when you buy it, or do you need to install it? It's already there. It's already there, and you just need to turn it on.
And the way to turn it on the first time is, I can show you how to do it on one of our tablets afterwards. That would be a better option.
One of the beautiful things about what Amazon is doing is it's creating very inexpensive hardware tablets that can be used in place of much more expensive smartphones and devices to enable a much larger number of people on fixed incomes to be able to have access to the information that's available in the digital domain. And we're very conscious of that. We recognize that cost is really important. And that not everybody has the money to spend on the fanciest, latest, and greatest. It's, you know, of course we want to provide power, we want to provide functionality. Price is very much relevant to the way we design our products. So, and I mean, I mentioned earlier as you know that basically by buying a Fire tablet, if you've got a Fire tablet, you've got access, you've got the most inexpensive digital book reader you can possibly have, and it's fully accessible. And if you happen to be lucky enough to have a Braille display that you can pair with it, you've got Braille access to all of that as well. So it's pretty snazzy. Yeah, thank you for appreciating that.
Patricia was talking about alternates to phones. One of the features that Alexa offers, and again, Alexa is available to you on a Fire tablet, is the ability to make phone calls through Alexa. You can say, Alexa, call, and then rattle off a phone number in North America, and she will make that phone call for you. You can also call your friend, what we call Alexa to Alexa calling. But you can call normal North America phone numbers for free with Alexa, as long as you've got a Wi-Fi connection.
So how do you just ask for somebody's number in Detroit?
Yeah, Alexa, call 510-555-1212, and she will do that. Yeah, they can't call you back. It's not a full phone replacement.
Okay, so let's just try to have one. Let's try to have one thread in the conversation.
I have the web page up right now under supported Braille displays. And if you go to your very favorite search engine and you type in VoiceView and Braille, this is probably one of the first hits you'll get. The APH Refresher Braille, the Baum Super Vario 2, the Baum Vario Connect, the Baum Vario Ultra, the HumanWare Brailliant BI, and the Orbit Reader 20 today.
Quick question in the front about the Focus. We are not supporting the Focus today. So thank you. Yeah. So the question is, can you read BRF files with a Braille display and a Fire tablet? If you are doing it through the Bard mobile app, I believe you can. It will speak to you, yes. It will support whatever functionality Bard Mobile supports. I don't know if it will speak to you. Okay, so no, it won't. Say a question about headphone jacks. The Fire tablets all come with standard headphone jacks. Yep, as well as a USB port. Yep. Yeah. So when we're ready to distribute a new version of VoiceView, it just sort of comes, if your device is connected to Wi-Fi, it just sort of secretly arrives. And so we push those when we're ready, when we've got a new version that's gonna add significant value for you, we send it out as part of an update package, and your VoiceView gets updated along with the rest of your operating system. So the question is, what tutorial, other than the tutorial that that starts, sort of the interactive tutorial that comes along with the voice, the first time you turn on VoiceView, are there any training materials or reference materials for the for learning to use VoiceView on a Fire tablet? To my knowledge, the main resource we have right now is that tutorial that starts up. Peter, do you want to?
Yeah. So we've had some conversations with folks like Hadley, and there's some discussion about creating that. I think it would be great for customers like yourself to tell Hadley that this is something that you would like.
I'm gonna.
I just want to point out that you can rerun that tutorial at any time. It's available to you from settings. When we update VoiceView, we also update the tutorial. So as it gets more features, we've added continuous reading. We've added the ability to skip forward and backward during continuous reading by words, by sentence, by paragraph. You know, all of those new features we add to the tutorial and also to the online manual, which you can review either on your Fire tablet or go to the web and review it on some other device that you have.
I'm just going to do a quick little unofficial survey here. If we created new tutorial materials, I'm going to offer a couple of different media, and I'm going to ask you to clap for them and tell me which ones you would like to see. So, what about a Braille tutorial and reference card? Okay. What about YouTube videos?
Yes.
What about audio tutorials, podcasts? So those all sounded about as popular as each other to me, so that didn't help that much. Okay. How about if I talk about Prime Video? So the question is about a company called Mystic Access that specializes in tutorials, and the suggestion that we contact them. So, you know, video is one of these things. Video is like, it's so exciting that we have such amazing access to video these days. You know, you can pretty much get, you know, you can now stream kind of whatever you want. And for people, you know, who are blind and visually impaired, a lot of the time what we want is not just streaming video, we want streaming video with audio description. And luckily, the trajectory is really positive. We are getting, just in general, obviously access to so much more audio described content than we've had in the past. And Amazon is committed to making Prime Video a wonderful experience for our blind customers as well. So I don't work in, let me step back for a second. You guys have no idea how big Amazon is. You guys, Amazon, there are over 600,000 people working for Amazon now. And it's set up, I mean, we do so much stuff, but I, who have been working at Amazon for 6 months, there is so much we're doing that I don't know about. Peter, who's been working for Amazon for 5 years, still doesn't know about lots of stuff that Amazon is doing. And it's because we operate in lots of different groups, lots of different organizations, all trying to do great things for customers. Different groups focus on different types of customers. And video, it took video a little while to realize that blind people were their customers. And now they get it. They understand now that blind people are an important set of customers that they need to not only understand but design for. And it's thrilling to me to come on board at Amazon at a time when that the fight for that understanding is done and it's time to do the implementation, right? So Amazon, we do already have All of our Amazon Originals shows that we produce are described. And audio description is available on many different platforms. Obviously, the Fire TV, the Fire Stick, the Cube. Audio description is not necessarily available on all of our devices, and that's for technical reasons. Some of our devices use different protocols that the audio description is not. It won't accept the second the type of audio material that we're using for description. So those platforms are platforms that we're now looking at, like how are we going to bring audio description to that platform. Other platforms have players that some of them work really well with screen readers, like for example on iOS we've got a Prime Video app that works extremely well with VoiceOver. It also works well on our Fire tablets with Voice View. I would say that if you're trying to access Amazon Video today, your best bet is probably still going to be either the TVs, our various TVs, or iOS. However, we're really committed to making that viewing experience work on as many platforms as we can.
If I can just jump in here. Mm-hmm. So audio descriptions today are available on Fire TV, Fire Stick, iOS, including iPhones and iPads, Android devices. Apple TV also supports it. We are in the process of expanding this to smart TVs. So at this very moment, some smart TVs already support audio description, as Josh mentioned. Many of these smart TVs don't have the processing capabilities, the CPU power, to easily support these multiple audio streams at the same time. But we are working hard to expand it to more and more of those devices. We have a web page for audio description, amazon.com/video/audio description. And that's our list of all of the described titles. There's also a fantastic list that we update every few weeks at the Audio Description Project here at ACB. As of our refresh earlier this week, where we added another 65 titles, we are just about at 600 titles supporting audio description.
The question is just about searching for videos with audio description, and we're very aware that that's something that would... So you may be able to do that on many search engines. When you're searching within Amazon, Amazon Prime, that may or may not get you what you're after. And so the question being about searching for and finding audio described titles in Prime Video, you can try using the search term audio description. But that will not currently get you everything. And so so we are very aware of the need for that, and I think you can expect constant improvement in that area.
And I did capture what you were saying, that you'd like a preference setting essentially to say, look, I want audio description whenever it's available. Is that essentially right?
Yeah, in my profile.
Right. So the question was, is audio description available on the Fire TV Edition televisions that I was talking about earlier from Toshiba and Insignia? And the answer is yes. You can enjoy Prime Video with audio descriptions on those devices. You can enjoy Netflix with audio description on those devices. For the few hours a day that there is audio description on broadcast television, like NCIS, some of the other shows, you can get audio description there. It's on your second audio program, and it is referred to by a special broadcast term called Spanish. But when you ask for Spanish on a broadcast audio described movie, you will get the audio description track in English for that title.
Richard, can you enable audio description through Alexa?
We do not support Alexa audio. Bleh. We don't support that today. We've been doing a lot on our shopping experience to improve the ability to shop accessibly on our store. We now require from third-party sellers, if a third-party seller wants to sell on Amazon.com, that the detail page, as we call it, the page that describes their product, must have alt text for any images. Or we will reject that page. We have not gone back and required this of pages that are already in our store, but for any new one, this is a requirement. This is also an internal requirement for any new product that Amazon is offering. All detail pages have to have alt text. Another thing for folks who like magnification, we have improved the magnifier both on Fire TV and on Fire Tablet. Our Fire TV magnifier now includes a little locator rectangle, so when you turn the magnifier on, in the upper right corner of the screen, there's a yellow rectangle that shows you where within the screen your magnifier is. And on Fire tablets, we've again improved the magnifier on tablets. They now go to 11, well, 10 really. 10x magnification instead of the previous 5x. And it will magnify the entire screen, including the keyboard and the soft key bar if that's up. And the magnifier will remain up as you switch applications. So, you know, Fire OS is a variant of Android. The initial Fire OS magnifier was a variant of the Android magnifier, but we have since improved upon that with those added functions. So that, I think, covers all of our prepared topics. We still have, I believe, 12 minutes left for any last questions, and there's somebody waving at the back of the room who hasn't asked a question yet. You go next. So the question was, the gentleman was saying that he didn't manage to hear all of the presentation and is wondering if there's a transcript or a recording of this presentation. Richard has been, Richard and the BIT staff have been recording it, and they should be making that recording available to you afterwards. So the woman is saying that years ago when she first got her Fire Stick, it didn't include voice view. And the answer is we have quietly updated the capabilities of every Fire TV stick, every Fire TV box ever sold. And we have added voice view to all of those. We have added the magnifier to all of those. They all have the very latest voice view with all the latest features and the latest magnifier. You'll need it to be plugged in and on the network, and we will update it. You're probably about 6 or 9 updates behind, so it will need to update multiple times. We don't skip updates. We only update from the last. So it'll need to be updated multiple times. If you just quietly leave it on the network for about a week, it should get fully caught up. So the woman who I'm taking from your accent and question is an Aussie, is wondering why there are some products available in the U.S. that aren't available in Australia. It's unfortunate that every country has their own certification process for electronics to be sold in that country. We are going through that process with our devices country by country, but we have not yet done so with every product in every country. I know that a number of our products, including, I believe, Alexa and Fire TV, some of the Fire TVs are available in Australia, but not all of them, and I'm sorry about that. I would note that you can get things delivered to your hotel if you want to order them here. They don't stop working just because you take them to another country. So the gentleman was making a request for the Shadow, the Green Hornet, some of the other old time.
Sam Spade.
Yes, Sam Spade. All right. Well, I'm not part of the skills team, but I will take that request back. So the gentleman was asking about getting caption support on Prime Video. So is this on a Fire TV or some other Surface? So there are for Prime Video on smart TVs, there are two ways to get to captions. One is once the movie is playing, if you can get to the menu, and that might be up arrow, it might be menu, because you've got a smart TV, I don't know what the particular buttons are on your smart TV's remote. But commonly it'll be up arrow or menu, and then you'll be able to get to the playback, the immediate playback settings. And from there you should be able to turn captions on and off. If you want to configure the captions to make the text bigger, to change the font, to change the foreground and background colors, a lot of the TVs don't have they're not smart enough. For some reason, 2010 smarts aren't quite the same as 2019 era smarts. So the older smart TVs, it wasn't easy to do that, but if you go to amazon.com/CC, or for closed captions, you will be able to change your personal closed caption settings, and then you'll be able to pick one of the four customizations that you make through the web interface on just about any smart TV. So we maybe not have the ability on that TV to do all of that fine-grain configuration, but will support the ability to choose from one of four presets, and you can configure those presets
on
the web.
On.
Yeah, once you turn it on, it stays on. Question in the back of the room in the fuchsia polo shirt. So the feature request was to bring other features like high contrast into a rapid toggle on and off, just as we have recently added with VoiceView. Thank you for that feature request. That's not something we support today. All right, well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.